Yay, yay, indeed. We get to sing in a free country.
Yay, yay, yay.
Yay, yay, yay. Because of those who have sacrificed for us. And we celebrate those who have laid down their lives on Memorial Day. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. There's a key word in our text. The word is worthy. And that's one of those words that we use quite a bit. Maybe in some other kinds of settings. I know I'm from Claiborne, and so probably I don't speak, you know, Hamiltonese. But that's where I currently live. I'm from Ohio, so I have two strikes against me, probably. But the good news is I went to the St. Louis Seminary, so there's some hope. But I do have some questions for you. What makes you feel worthy? A lot of people struggle with that idea that I'm worthy. How do you know that you're worthy? It's a word that kind of shy away from, don't we? The definition is good and deserving respect or praise or attention. Or, second definition is, enough good qualities to be considered important or useful. Having worth, obviously, worthy, having worth or value. And in this case, it is an important or respected person. That's the definitions of it if you use it as an adjective and if you use it as a noun. So, it's good that we are looking at this on a Memorial Weekend where a lot of schools are also hosting a graduation, and they're worthy. Kids are being promoted to the next grade. They're worthy, honor of that certificate of graduation or honor, rank in command. And I want to talk about rank in command. You see, the text, if we look at it carefully, this is a non-Jew. This is a Gentile. This is one who, to this day, Hasidic Jews in particular, look down on. But not this guy. This guy respected the Jews for their faith. He might have been a secret believer, but, you know, he would lose his job if he admitted that. So he built the temple for them that would have been out of his own budget, would have been perhaps some of his own money. You know how our politicians today have a tendency, and those in Congress, I'm not saying they're bad people, don't get me wrong, I'm just saying they make a lot of money. Okay, not only their salaries, but you know, a lot of those folks have businesses on the side and those kinds of things. So they would have some income where they would be able to do some nice things for people. Well, that was true in this day, and he did do that. He built it out of his own budget, his own funds. He was highly thought of by the people under his governmental authority, under his policing authority, under his boot heel, if you will. He could do anything he wanted, and he chose to do things for them that caused respect. Not that he was looking for that, but that's the way he operated. This is a very unusual. It's even unusual yet today. And to have Jesus come to a non-Jewish house, well, now we've got a little bit of a problem because, you know, this is, that would have offended some Jews. It would have caused a problem for Jesus' ministry, even though these Jews in Capernaum, Jesus' kind of adopted hometown, not his boyhood youth town, Nazareth, but rather Capernaum, where a lot of his ministry and a number of his miracles were done in this area. And so this centurion, who is in charge of 100 soldiers, that's why he's called a centurion, he not only learned the centurion the art of war and how to kill people and be efficient at it, but he also learned policing. He learned how to keep things going well. He learned inspiration. He didn't want to cause an issue for the ministry of Jesus down the road. And this was someone he respected. That's why there's this example of giving orders. And that's what all that's about. He says, go, and you know, and he recognizes Jesus has even more authority than he does. That's why he continues to humble himself. He doesn't say, hey, I'm a Roman centurion. You know, no one can accuse me of anything because, hey, I'm the sheriff in town, I'm the law. You know? But he's under authority. He's been given this authority. He's worked his way into this position. But he sees the authority of Jesus over life and death. The centurion only has the authority to give death. He only has the authority to enforce laws. Jesus has more authority than he does. Jesus is more worthy. The centurion says, I'm not worthy to have you come to me. Remember, we looked at this word worthy. He understands that Jesus has more authority than he does. And so he can give life by a word. Why would he say that? Well, just in the Gospel of Luke, you know, in verse 7, he says, just say the word and my servant will be healed. But in the chapters before that, this has been documented. You know, it's a clean spirit of the man in the temple. The many that were healed, including Simon's mother-in-law, by the way, plus all the others in town that once they heard she was healed, and they came to the house Jesus was staying in. He cleansed the leper. Leprosy was a death sentence in those days. Jesus cleansed a leper. Look it up, chapter 5, verse 6. Going through those, heals a paralytic. And that's the guy that came down through the roof. And he forgave him his sins. But what's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven? Or get up and walk? Well, for God, they're both easy, aren't they? The man with the withered hand. And the crowds were coming to Jesus. This was well documented. And this centurion knew about these things because that was his job, to keep order in this riotous corner of the world, because the Jews didn't like being under the rule of anybody. And so there was a problem over here for the Roman Empire. So these centurions had gone to all kinds of meetings. They had been given orders, make sure this stays quiet. And so this guy took it to heart. He knew that Jesus had, when he spoke words, they were words of healing. Jesus says a word and there is new life. The servant is in terrible shape. It's very interesting, and this is why we require people like your pastor and mine and all of our pastors in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, to study Greek. Not an easy course, by the way. Because here in the Greek, when he asks Jesus to come and heal my servant, he doesn't use the normal word for heal. He uses the word for save. The servant, the text says, he was at the point of death. He's not asking for a physical healing. He's asking for a total and complete, if you will, almost a shalom. May it be well in every possible way for this kid. Saved from death. How much of a precursor is that for the one who would save you and me from death by his own? Jesus, in this miracle that we see in Luke's gospel, is showing that you and me that he has the power of life over death. And he's given it to us in his own death. It's It's a picture of our salvation. Jesus on the cross says, it is finished. The task that he has come to do, the Greek is the word for work, telestai. And he says, to telestai. It is finished once and for all. It's in the perfect tense in Greek. And we have life because we trust his cross. And what's Jesus' response to this? Saying that you don't need to come under my roof. Just say the word. He marvels. It's only used twice in all the Gospels. Jesus marveled at his faith. You know the other time it was used? In his hometown, when he marveled at how they didn't believe. So the words for today, worthy marvel. Therefore, how do we pull that together? Salvation is in Jesus by his word. If he says it, you can count on it. Pulling it all together, the centurion knows that he is not worthy. You and I know we are not worthy of salvation. We don't do anything to earn it. He had done nothing to expect that Jesus would do or even hear his request. Have you ever felt God's not listening when you pray? You know, yeah, you got so many sins. For those of you that were in Bible class, you've eaten a lot of dark chocolate. We were teasing about that, and the dentist in the class reminded me that it's not good to eat too much sweets. So let me encourage you, don't eat a lot of sweets. And certainly don't let them melt in your mouth. Do you ever feel that God is not listening? You know, maybe, well, if I'd just gone to church more, if I'd just this more, if I had given more, if I had been a better Christian, God might listen. Do you have a human God? Or do you have an almighty God? The centurion knew Jesus had authority. The centurion also knew that Jesus can do more than the centurion himself can do. Jesus can heal, and he has. It's been documented. He knows what's going on in the town, all of these healings, all these happenings. Have you ever seen Jesus heal? Have you ever felt God move in your life? Have you ever seen the circumstances come together and go, that had to be the hand of God? The centurion himself wants good for others. He wants Jesus to heal. He wanted to save this lowly servant. Have you ever prayed unselfishly for someone? I'm sure you have. But the centurion gets much more, doesn't he? Yeah, the servant gets healed. But the centurion gets a commendation. Not a condemnation, but a commendation for his faith beyond anyone in all of Israel. A commendation of faith more than anyone, I remember he's walking around with 12 guys, than anyone he has ever seen in all of Israel. How would you feel if God said that about you? That your faith is an amazing faith. What would you do if you knew that God thought highly of you? How would your life go? How would you react? How would you be? Do you know God loves you? I mean, do you know? that God loves you? You're sitting in a church centered around the theology of Jesus Christ died for everybody. God sent his son for you and for all of us, even for me. God loves you. Isn't that amazing? Now that you know, and you've probably known it for years, but I hope that you re-examine that and take another look at that and say, God loves me. What keeps me from doing what God wants me to do? Because his word has power. Therefore, it must have power in my life. If that's who Jesus is, he is the second person of the Trinity. He is the Son of the Almighty God. He died for the sins of the world. He rose again so that I might have hope. What keeps me from doing what he wants me to do? Because his word has power. He's worthy to be praised, yes, but he's also worthy to be served. It's not Jesus that keeps you from that. Sometimes it's our own stinking thinking, and we need a checkup from the neck up. Yeah. That's what Bible class is about. That's what devotions are about. That's what Sunday school is about. That's what, you know, you guys sponsor. I drove in. I saw the sign for the Lutheran Hour. You know, that's what all of that is about, is to what? Get our thinking to line up with God's thinking. Oh, Pastor Artie, you're a visiting pastor. You don't understand. Okay, this is Hamilton. Jesus wouldn't say that anybody in Hamilton has great faith. Maybe you could be right, I suppose. Nobody starts out as a centurion. You don't get to be in charge of 100 guys by birth. You work your way. You get to know Jesus. You get to know his love. You get to see him at work in other people. You get to see him at work in your community. You get to participate in the things that this congregation does. And putting out flags at 3 o'clock this afternoon is one of those acts of love that God says, I want people to know that they are appreciated, that they are not forgotten. That's what this life is about. I have not forgotten my people. And my people do good things. You don't start out on top. You work your way there. And the good news is we have divine help and the power of that divine help to follow Jesus. You see, we have to remember we do what we believe. If you believe that Goodyear tires are the very best possible tires you could have on your car, then by gosh and by God, are you going to have Goodyear tires? If you believe that Hershey's dark chocolate is better than Godiva dark chocolate, you're not going to eat Godiva dark chocolate, you're going to eat Hershey's dark chocolate. I'm still on the fence between the two, just so you know. Still experimenting. I'll see the dentist probably in another week. We do what we believe, and if we believe that God loves us and that he sent his son to die for us and that our reputation as the people of God precedes us, then that's exactly what he wants. And he marvels at that kind of faith. To God be the glory for what we do in his name. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.